Good morning. It's time for Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. I'm Patrick Campion, sitting in for David Fair this morning. And we're going to be talking about coal ash today, its impact on our environment, and some recent legislation that have changed how coal ash is handled and how it's regulated in the state of Michigan. So our guest this morning is Margie Armstrong, who is the program organizer for Clean Water Action. Good morning.
Good morning, Patrick. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for being an expert for us. First off, explain what it is exactly you do as a program organizer for Clean Water Action.
Sure. So I head up the programs that happen out of our Clinton Township office in Macomb County. We do a lot of work around Lake St. Clair. We call it the heart of the Great Lakes, even though it's not officially a Great Lake.
So I'm assuming Clean Water Action is a group that's devoted to action to keep water clean. All right, it's pretty self-explanatory. Awesome. Okay, so just want to be sure we were all on the same page there. All right, so what we're talking about today is a recent House bill that's going to reclassify coal ash and a handful of other petroleum byproducts that were classified as hazardous waste are now going to be classified as low-hazard materials that are suitable for what they call, quote, beneficial uses. And the primary one that we're focusing on is coal ash and their byproducts that will be repurposed for a variety of purposes. So first off, what is coal ash and how is it created?
Sure. Coal ash is the byproduct of burning coal. Mm-hmm. It's much more toxic than coal itself. It contains chemicals such as arsenic, lead, mercury, selenium, just to name a few.
Okay, so these are coal that we're using to create power in in Michigan specifically. We're burning coal to create steam to generate electricity. All right, so this is the stuff that falls to the bottom, basically, as the coal is burned. What percentage of the coal that's used eventually ends up being this waste byproduct? Do you know?
I don't know the exact percentage, but it's a lot. We generate over, I believe it's 1.7 million tons each year here in Michigan.
Okay, so we burn the coal, and then the coal falls to the bottom of the incinerator, and then they dig it out, and they put it in tanks, and they store it. So before this legislation, what were they doing with it?
Well, actually, just to go back to the storage issue, coal ash can be stored in two ways, either dry in piles or in ponds, wet. And the requirements for storing coal ash are pretty minimum here in the state of Michigan. So in these ponds, they're usually unlined. So it's just the natural clay liner, and we've, you know, already experienced leakages into groundwater supplies.
So we were just kind of throwing it in storage containers, either out in the open or in landfills, right? So purposed landfills that do have liners or just natural lined clay liners. And that's where all of it was going before this?
Well, some of it was being reused in the quote-unquote beneficial reuse projects.
Okay.
But these bills have expanded some of those uses. The one that we're most concerned with is use on farm fields. We feel like that is very dangerous, not good for our families, our communities, and our Great Lakes.
What's the practical application there? I mean, what are they doing with coal ash on a farm field?
So the argument is that some of these toxic byproducts listed in the bills contain some amount of lime, which can be used as a soil conditioner. But in addition to that lime, again, we have all of these other toxic chemicals, you know, mercury, lead, arsenic, selenium.
So what should we do with it then? And, you know, before we get too far into the exact nature of the beast, and what would you propose that we do with the coal ash?
Well, definitely get rid of storing it wet in ponds. There needs to be better mechanisms around how we store this ash so it's not blowing away, running off into our waterways, or leaking from these ponds. And then additionally, the way we reuse coal ash, there's two different ways. One is encapsulated, which essentially means we're mixing it with something else like cement, with the idea that that will prevent any leaching of the chemicals. But we also allow unencapsulated reuse, which we are very opposed to at Clean Water Action.
Okay.
Because you're just using straight coal ash.
So just to recap then, so that we're on the same page here. you're the program organizer for Clean Water Action out in St. Clair County or Lake St. Clair area.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You're here to talk about the reuse of coal ash. The recent legislation is going to expand the use of it within the state of Michigan, from largely being stored with some limited use to much more expanded use. And then we're talking about there's two different ways you can do that, either by including it as a substrate, as an encapsulated product within something like cement for use in roads and things like that. But what you're really objecting to is the way it's going to directly touch our environment in an unencapsulated use. So either storing it in an open storage, non-lined pond, a wet storage, or by spreading it over roads or onto farm fields.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, in terms of these farming practices, along with the potential for drinking water contamination, we're concerned about, you know, the addition into our agricultural products. You know, cities like Traverse City have become a destination for food tourism, which is a huge benefit to those local economies. I doubt that anyone will still want to dine out knowing that their salad was grown in a field that contained toxic mercury, arsenic, and lead. I mean, I sure wouldn't.
No, I read an EPA report that compared the levels that they were testing for leaching out of these for arsenic, for example, and it basically made an equivalence that in their leaching tests they showed a median of around 4.5 parts per million, and in an average soil sample taken by the EPA in the same area, they were showing around also a median of 4 parts per million of arsenic. But some people are saying that those tests aren't all that great. What is it about these tests that organizations like yours are objecting to?
Well, sure. At some of the coal-burning facilities, there's no water testing going on at all because there's no federal regulations that exist around coal ash currently. So it's all taken care of by the state. But the state doesn't regulate some sites, so again, we don't have information. And then the sites we do have information about, we've seen where they have surpassed their permit limit in leaching some of these chemicals.
So what you're saying, the biggest issue, though, is that besides not being tested at all, is when they're testing it dry and not testing it in water testing to show what the conditions would be for leaching if it comes into contact with water. All right, so obviously it's going to, in the usages that they're proposing, if you put it on a farm field, if you lay it out on roads, it's obviously going to come in contact with water. So then where does the issue come into play there? Is that how does it get from there into our water system?
Sure, through stormwater runoff. We know agricultural fields already contribute a lot of runoff into our waterways, and this would just add to it.
So don't have as big of an objection, though, to being used in encapsulated use, which is actually fairly common for inclusion in roadways and whatnot. And why is that? Is it less of a danger to the environment there?
Well, it definitely poses less of a danger than if you're just using coal ash on agricultural fields or, you know, burying it a few feet underneath the concrete. There has been limited, you know, long-term testing done, so we really don't know what the effects are, but we would choose the encapsulated over the unencapsulated reuse.
Okay, so in the end, though, what you're really saying is there's no direct correlation of if you put this in your farm field, your kids are going to get cancer. But you're holding that these are harmful chemicals. We don't know what the long-term effects are. We should err definitely on the side of caution here. Is that the basic summary of what you're looking to get out of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to be eating food that was grown with arsenic and lead spread over it. It might not, you know, be the only thing that affects me, but it would certainly, you know, contribute to health problems here in Michigan. But you can find out more information on our website, which is cleanwateraction.org/MI. We have a report that we released last year called Toxic Trash Exposed, and it details all of the issues we have with coal ash in Michigan. We're also part of a great coalition called Clean Energy Now, and you can check us out on Facebook, Clean Energy Now Michigan.
This is Issues of the Environment, a regular feature here on 89.1 WEMU. I'm Patrick Campion, sitting in for David Fair this morning. Thanks for listening.